certainly proud of our team. I think we've had a good year to date, 21 wins, and you know, maybe as much as anything, just the fact that we're one of three ACC teams in the league right now that are kind of a lock for the NCAA tournament. And I think that's a terrific accomplishment to be in that position right now. Obviously, last year we were right there on the border and didn't get it done. So I'm really proud of our guys for that. Incredible non-conference, 10-1, and Coach Bender needs some credit there for scheduling the kind of games that we could that turned out to be incredible. Boise being at home was a quad one, and we were fortunate that we got assigned the Bama game. That ended up being a quad one, and then TCU we scheduled on our own, another quad one. So those are hard to get. And a lot of energy, effort. Coach Bender did a great job of giving us that opportunity. The Memphis game we lost was another quad one, so we were able to really test ourselves. I thought we handled that part of it very well, and certainly are being rewarded for the challenging schedule. You know, ACC wise, first off, I'm optimistic. We're going to have some guys recognized here this afternoon for some pretty good individual achievements, and that certainly is noteworthy. As a group, I think we all would have liked to have won a couple more games, had chances to win some more games. You know, it's a long season. The first thing I think our league is way better than people think it is, or it gets credit. I've said that. I've been pretty outspoken about it, and I think some of the net rankings show that. We've got five in the top 50 right now. Virginia's 51 and Virginia Tech is 56. And then we've got a bunch, five more teams that are kind of between 79 and 99. And that's probably where our league gets drawn down compared to some other leagues, because those games are quad three games at home. We played five of them, NC State, Syracuse twice. This year, Florida State, BC, and Miami, and those home games are like quad three games. So really, in theory, those can only hurt you. And if, as a league, we probably have to figure out a way through some of the scheduling to make sure that some of our teams have a chance to end up in that quad two, as many as possible. Because it feels like some other leagues are doing a better job of that. But I think those teams are all – good teams, very worthy, and can certainly beat anybody on any night. And I think it's important as a league that we keep working to do that. Our team in the league, obviously, we got off to a slow start. We were 1-3. Probably had our worst couple of weeks there when we lost three games in a row in the league against some good opponents in tough situations, but we didn't play very well. And we kind of were battling uphill the rest of the way. And it was hard. It was long. We couldn't really string anything together. We were 4-6 halfway through the league. But we have managed to, win seven of our last 10, 10 of our last 16. So I do feel like our guys kind of battled all year to get us to a position where we are now. Again, I think we all wish we would have won a couple more and had chances and let a couple get away from us. But that's part of league play. And I think we're all really excited about the tournament, ACC tournament to start. And know we're going to have tough matchups with either Miami or Boston College teams we've played this year. But I do think our guys are excited and ready to move on. So with that, I guess I'll take questions.
You used the term good year.
Yeah.
I might be reading too much into that, but I guess you just sort of explained it. Sort of some of the ACC play, the unevenness.
Yeah. You don't think it was a good year?
Pardon?
You don't think it was a good year?
No. I'm just saying, instead of
great. Yeah, I mean, no, we need – I mean, a great year, we need to win some more games. Yeah, I mean, I think that's understandable. But I do think it was a good year. 31 games is a lot. We tested ourselves, you know, and these guys accomplished a lot. To be a lock right now, one of only three teams in the league, that says a lot. I mean, we can't just pick and choose what counts, right? Like last year, everybody's on us with our non-conference losses, and we win 14 ACC games, and yeah, but we had the bad losses. Now this year, maybe we don't win quite as many ACC games, but we don't want to give us credit for the 10 non-conference wins that are incredible in terms of the quality of play and the field we played against. And so I do think it's a really good year, because you do look at all of it and it all counts. And obviously that's why we're in the NCAA tournament right now, or hopefully going to be on Sunday. So to have that, you know, be part of what you are asking, I think is significant. And again, I think we all readily admit we wish we'd won a couple more ACC games you know, but we didn't quite get it done on a couple of nights. And a lot of it had to do with the competition was pretty good. And league play is harder. I mean, everybody knows everybody. You don't sneak up on anybody. There's coaches are very familiar. You've competed against each other. So it's challenging. And, you know, but again, for us to have a quote unquote great year, yeah, we need to win some more games. Go ahead.
Another double bye was one of you guys' goals in the AC tournament. What was the mood in the locker room after the loss to Wake Forest and Pitt eventually beating NC State later that day?
You know, I don't think we really worried as much about the Pitt-NC State game. It's more just our disappointment that we didn't win the Wake game. Whenever you have a chance, you know, to handle the situation yourself, you want to handle it. And that was a hell of a game. I thought we played very well at times. And we did have some defensive breakdowns, a couple early and a couple late. I thought we had some stretches where we played really, really well. Wake is really talented, very good. They played well. The shot-making they had at the end of the game, tremendous. And ultimately, that's what got us. But we were active defensively. Our guys played hard. We had 9 steals, created 13 turnovers. I thought we were more active defensively in that game than we've been in some others. And we had guys step up and make big plays, but it wasn't enough. And that's going to happen sometimes when you're playing good teams. But, you know, guys were a little down. But at the end of the day, you know you're playing in the tournament. So I think quickly young people get past those kinds of things and are ready to get on to the next challenge.
What are the challenges in not knowing who you're going to play until 24 hours before you play them? I know you got staff.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, that's the part of this that I think is real challenge is, you know, there's a couple advantages when you feel like you've played a game in the tournament because your guys have positive experience from making shots in the building and you got a little positive momentum and energy from doing those things. You know, hey, we're going to try to prepare for Boston College today. We're going to prepare for Miami tomorrow. And then we'll watch what happens tomorrow night and, you know, that night and the next morning we'll get our guys as ready as we can for the one-day prep. You know, the team we're playing will be on a one-day prep, so that part will be the same. But it would be nice to have, you know, we're such creatures of habit where we have a couple days to get ready. That's what we all prefer. In this situation, you just got to do the best you can.
What about the league start times? I mean,
yeah.
To keep playing day.
Yeah, 9:30 is not ideal either. Yeah.
You don't play too many of those games. You played one game to finish at midnight.
Yeah.
You don't play too many. Of
yeah, it makes for a long deal. Obviously, that's one of the reasons why we're not going till tomorrow. I just feel like if you go 2 days in advance when it's this, when you play a 9:30 game, it's my experience that you can leave your game in the hotel. It's hard. Kids are waiting around. They're anxious. A lot of nervous energy and. So monitoring that, you know, tomorrow and being cognizant of that is, you know, important for us as coaches. It's probably the third time or the last time that you would pick out of all four times. That was probably the one that would get last choice.
Yes,
go
ahead, John. Just Alex Hemingway, Boss Light, is there a chance either of those guys could be back?
I don't think so.
And Alex didn't
Yeah.
Bruce Senior.
No, he did not. He has another year, and I don't know what we're going to do. But I think we've pretty much decided that now it's he's at the point where it's you might as well just use it for redshirt or whatnot and let him have another year to do his thing. He just couldn't get back in time for enough, with enough games to make really a significant contribution.
Aside from what the pre-conference schedule did for the net and all that, what do you think it did to prepare your team for these types of environments? I mean, like the Memphis game felt like a postseason
game. Yeah, Memphis game was electric, unbelievable. Obviously, they were playing fantastic at the time, and the building was on fire. It was unbelievable. Alabama was similar. Those were two great environments. You know, the TCU wasn't like an electric environment, but it was a neutral court game against a very good opponent, the kind of opponent you'll see in an NCAA tournament. So I think just those are positive experiences. You know, the one thing I've been encouraged, our team has played well on the road in difficult environments. Obviously, the win at Chapel Hill was a highlight. You know, the close loss at Duke, I think we've shown that we can play there and play well. You know, good environment at Wake the other night and played pretty well for most of the game, but, you know, got beat in a couple of those games. I just think all of that, you know, helps you. Your guys being through it, and you know us having an older group. I didn't expect that we wouldn't have played well in some of those environments. I mean, you don't know that you're going to play well all the time. You know, we had some games this year where we played on the road and we didn't make shots and we didn't play as well. But I think that those were good tests for our team, especially an older group, and we got some confidence coming out of those, and then. You know, hopefully some of it translated into some ACC wins.
Talk about the scheduling issues, like obviously the Big 12 strategy.
Used,
and obviously you think you got an advantage from the tough scheduling you had. So
if you win.
If you win. So, I mean, is the idea that everyone has to be on board with
it's hard. That's the part that, you know, all you can do is, you know, these are guesses. And you have to be a little lucky. Like we were fortunate that we got Alabama. We didn't have anything to do with that. That was the league and TV getting together, the leagues and TV getting together and putting us together. And so sometimes that game is valuable, and sometimes that game can really not help you. It can almost hurt you. You know, Coach Bender did an unbelievable job, like Boise State. Everybody, a lot of people are probably like, what are we doing with Boise State? Why the heck would we play there? And we have to go back next year. Because if you really do your homework and look, Boise State at worst was going to be a quad two probably, 95% of the chance. You know, and there might have been whatever chance that they'd be quad one, and you turn around and look, and Leon's done an unbelievable job. I texted him right before the game at San Diego State, just thanked him for all his hard work this year, and he texted me back and, yeah, you knew we were going to be a quad one the whole time, he said. And but those guys, you know, we just have a lot of respect for them, know those guys, and we were fortunate that that game was one that we could work out. But that's hard to do, and there's some luck involved. Memphis happened to be looking late, and Coach Bender, you know, got with me, and we jumped on it quick. And, you know, we didn't win that game, but it was a good game for the schedule and a game that, you know, doesn't hurt you. Because it's a quad one road game. But that's not easy for those things to happen. They don't fall in place every year. You know, sometimes you got to get a little lucky. You know, if another team has an injury or two, then it doesn't work out. And it's, you know, that's challenging. So, but I do think as a league, we've got to really analyze. You know, we're still one of the leagues playing 20 games. And when it gets to the point that, and this is what happens, again, we've got 12 of our 15 teams in the top 100, but five of them are between 76 and 100, which means they're certainly good teams and they beat you. But then every time you play them at home, all we're doing is really hurting each other. You know, that's not good for the league. You know, we were 4-1 in those games. But if you lose a couple of them, everybody's pointing out like that's a bad loss, and we all know in a league like ours, those aren't bad losses. Those are toss up games, and it's hard.
I guess is the answer potentially though everyone going out scheduling like
Possibly. Some of it, I don't know. I think we all have to look at it. I don't have all the answers, but I do think that when you're looking at it, and again, they're going to, some folks are going to say the net isn't the be-all, end-all. It seems a lot like a lot of things when everybody talks about, you know, bad losses or quad threes and fours and how many quad one wins. And, you know, it's enough of a factor that, that everybody talks about it, and the NCAA made it. I mean, they created it. So, you know, it's worth us doing a little deeper dive as a league.
I guess for now you're just going to schedule the Boise's and the TCU's and stuff.
We're going to schedule some. Obviously, we had, those are two-year deals, Boise's and Memphis. And we've always tried to do the best we can with you know, a non-conference road game or, neutral game. So we've tried to play, you know, three games like that as best we can. Then the SEC Challenge, and some of those things are out of your hands.
You spoke on how your practices have been limited over the past month or so. How are the guys' bodies holding up as the ACC?
Yeah. You know what? We've gotten better, and so we've started to practice a little more. PJ and Ian both have practiced a little more last week. And anticipate they'll be able to practice today. But yeah, it's been hard. There's a month there where, you know, the practices every day were kind of challenging because it was always one or two guys in, one or two guys out. And there was, you know, it was a challenge with the rhythm of what we're trying to get done. And then resting guys enough that they're still available here at the end of the season. And I'm hopeful that, you know, the PJs and the Ians of the world, Ian's still got some things that are bothering him, but he's tried to be a warrior and fight through a lot of it.
Kind of to that point, the goal is to win the game, but the goal is to also play four games in 4 days. How do you balance the minutes for playing guys when you're hoping to be playing more, but you also...
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you got to win. You're trying to win, and so that'll certainly be a part of it. Yeah, and you just, as you get deeper into it, you'll deal with those things as they come.
I guess how much does seeding really matter? I mean, going from like a 6 to a 5 or potentially 4?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you look at the past champions, it matters because probably the 1s, 2s, 3s win a lot. And there's usually a reason. They're usually the best teams, and that's why they finished where they did over a 20-game challenging league schedule. Having said that, I think the league is maybe as wide open as it's ever been. And obviously you have teams like Notre Dame and Georgia Tech whose coaches have done terrific jobs, and their teams have really gotten better. And they have unbelievable wins this year. Against really good teams. And so I do think that this could be a year where, you know, somebody who's a lower seed could certainly advance and get deep into the tournament and make something happen.
I was actually talking about the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Does that matter in terms of building?
I don't know. I think matchups probably matter more than seeding. I think the matchups in the game, there are just things that certain teams create problems for others, you know, based on style or their personnel versus your personnel. And that's where, you know, there are some, I mean, I think Matt Painter would be one of the first to tell you that Purdue last year, that was probably a terrible matchup for them in the first round game. If it doesn't get off to a good start, and now they're going against five small guys that are quick and athletic and fast and, you know, press and do all this stuff, you know, it creates some problems. And you haven't dealt with that. You haven't seen much of that in 3 months, you know. And then all of a sudden in the most pressure game of the season, you're dealing with it. And so we all kind of get in situations like that where maybe somebody stylistically plays a lot different than the teams you've played in your league or you know, there's a matchup or obviously foul trouble. Anything can change a game quickly.
We'll probably run this the Wednesday to jump play at 6 o'clock. Could you touch a little bit on
Wednesday
Boston
at
College,
6 of college.
And
okay.
Touch a little bit on Miami. Because
yeah.
Right now we don't know who they're going to be.
Yeah.
But when you play them, when we run this, we'll know. So just maybe start with Boston.
Yeah, okay. Boston College, very physical. Quentin Post, I'm sure will be an all-league player. outstanding center that stretches you with three-point shooting and good post play. Jaden Zachary, one of the tougher, more physical guards. I think they do a really good job of kind of exploiting some mismatches. And defensively, they're extremely physical. They'll change their defenses a little bit. So you got to adjust to some multiple defenses. Miami, really talented team that can score. You know, battled some injuries all year, and so be interesting to see who all they have playing in the tournament. But obviously, when they're making shots like they did against us in the second half of the first game, way back in January, they can beat anybody. Experienced team, used to winning. I think Norchad Omir, will be another all-conference player. Very difficult matchup for big guys because he's just as strong as all the post players in our league, but quicker. And so kind of an undersized five that creates problems. So both teams more than capable of winning several games in the tournament.
You mentioned the accolades coming later today. Seeing the PJ there, of course.
I would hope so.
I think overall that he was given the respect or benefit of the doubt.
I do think the game is very physical inside. And, you know, I don't know that our emphasis, you know, there have been years when it feels like that was an emphasis, maybe not as much this year or the last couple of years. Some of it is, you know, we are trying to keep – I do think people want to see the best players, so we're trying to keep them on the floor. But I do think it's very physical in our league and in college basketball in the post. And, you know, obviously it's the challenge or the frustrating part is when you have a posting team like we do and it's so physical that, you know, throwing the ball in there, there's no advantage or the advantage is taken away with some physicality on defense. Versus teams on the perimeter, which more teams play on the perimeter with spread open court offenses, and now there's a lot of touch fouls on drives. And so, and there's traveling on drives that sometimes goes uncalled. And so there's advantages that the offense seems to have occasionally, and that makes it frustrating for our team in terms of the coach and the players who are posting the ball a lot and playing physical inside-out basketball. And there's not as many teams that do that. There are some. But I think that's where the rub is. And I think at some point I do think it'll be enough of an issue that we're going to have to deal with it as the College Basketball Rules Committee probably is probably moving towards that.
How's your bench progressed throughout the year heading into these bigger stages?
I think there's times they've been inconsistent and at times, you know, which they're young players. They're all sophomores. So some of that is to be expected. There have been times they've been very good. You know, I don't think our bench is always it's not always points with them. And I think we all quickly go to points. Because we've got PJ, we've got Chase, we've got Joe, we've got three guys that have all, 2,000, 1,500, and 1,000-plus scorers, they don't always have to go in the game, and it's not about scoring. It's about defending. It's about, you know, keeping the offense moving. It's about doing your job at a high level. It's helping us in other ways. And I think there are times those guys do some really good things, and it may not be that they score very much, but they guarded well. They moved the ball. They played with great pace. They put pressure on the opponent with their pace, their speed in the open court. So I think there's some times those guys have done really well. And then there are certainly some games where those guys, you know, score 6, 8, 10, 12 points. But they can impact the game by scoring a bucket or two. And providing some things in the, you know, 8 to 18 minutes that they play off the bench that basketball or aren't scoring related, I should say.
It's the most vital thing on your mind right now as you shift to the postseason and you guys, what it's going to take you guys to achieve what you want to achieve.
I mean, just our consistency, you know, which that's everybody on every end. You know, we've got to keep limiting our defensive errors. And, you know, offensively, that does sometimes it comes down to shot making. There's some shot making. We're not quite as dynamic breaking people down and getting easy baskets on our own all the time. And so we end up having to make shots, whether those are low post moves or open threes or whatnot. You know, I think that if we're creating good shots for our guys, then we'll probably be fine.